Is found in the book of James, chapter number 5. Open your Bibles, please, to James, chapter number 5. They want to look at several verses of scripture here. James, chapter number 5, and we'll start reading with verse number 13 and read down through let's just read down through the rest of the chapter. That's all good scripture, and read the rest of the verses from 13 on down through verse number 20. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of the word. James starts out with some questions in these first few verses here. He said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to be back in church again today, and thank you for everyone that's come this way. And I pray, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your servant as we attempt to preach the Lord's message, and Lord, that we'll say the things that need to be said that would reveal the truth, the word of God that you want us to hear today, and Lord, that it might touch the hearts and lives of those who are here present. We know, God, that you understand all the situations in life. You understand everything that we go through. And we just pray that you'd work your precious will and meet with us in a very special way as we worship you together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to talk to you on the thought about Elijah. Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain, and he prayed again, and it did rain. As we look at this passage of scripture, James is writing, he's talking about faith and prayer. And by the way, they go together. Faith and prayer. We need, you say, "Preacher, I'd like to have my faith increased more. Pray more." And if you have your faith increased, you'll want to pray and talk to God. You realize that it's because of him, not because of us. Will you realize that he's the one that's in control and not you and me? And that faith is so important, so we need that. And James talks about this in this passage. And he got some questions and answers in these first two or three verses here. And he says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Now the word "afflicted" here is talking about afflictions of various kinds, whether it be afflicted by sickness or by bereavement or disappointment or persecution or loss of health or property. Any problem that you have in life could fit in this category. You say, "Preacher, I should talk to the Lord about everything." I think so. I think you ought to talk to him about every problem you have in life. You ought to talk to him about that. You ought to pray, and that's what we do. When we pray, we talk to God. We don't pray to be heard of men. We pray to be heard of God. Now, I know that people pray and have a public prayer. We have prayers, you know, and people pray. But we're actually praying for the whole congregation, and everybody can join in that prayer. I remember when we used to gather around the altar, everybody prayed at the same time. You didn't understand anything anybody was saying most of the time. The one that talked the loudest is the one that you could hear the most. But the Lord heard all of those things, you see. He heard every prayer. He understands all these things. So we need to pray. If you've got problems in your life, you need to pray. And when you see the problems come on, you should start praying. Ask the Lord about it. A lot of people are suffering defeat today because they did not pray and call on God. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. You say, preacher, when should I quit praying? When God answers a prayer. Or tells you that he's not going to answer it. You remember Paul prayed for God to remove the thorn from the flesh, and God told him, he said, Paul, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I'm going to give you grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So keep praying till the Lord answers the prayer, tells you that he's not going to do anything about that, but going to see you through it. Second thing he talks about here in verse number 13 rather, is any Mary. Now the word Mary here we're told is a word that means cheerful or pleasant or agreeable. It's applied to the state of the man, and it would talk about a man that's free from trouble. If you're going to sing, you're actually singing a message in your song, and it takes a person who is cheerful and pleasant. Notice what he says, is any among you merry, let him sing psalms. And the word psalms here means notes of praise. And that's why songs are written. Very few songs that you ever hear sung that don't have a pleasant, a good message, an uplifting message in them. Some of them don't make any sense at all. You know, and they ought to be left off. But anyhow, and sometimes I think about some of the religious songs that they write that, you know, don't say a whole lot about it either. I'll tell you, it just, but their messages, those old songs have been around for years. Amazing Grace still makes chill bumps on me when I hear people sing it. Heard it all of my life. Them old songs, they've been around for a long, long time, and they haven't lost their meaning. But any among you merry, let him sing psalms. Happy people sing, pleasant people sing, agreeable people sing. Because it does something for a message. We could read the 23rd Psalm, and most of us probably could quote it by heart, and we could quote the 23rd Psalm or read it, look at it in a book. We could not get the words together. Somebody would be ahead. Somebody would be behind. Somebody read fast. Somebody read slow. I used to go to the Methodist church, and that's the way the reading of the scripture was, responsive reading. You know, the preacher reads some, and you'd read some. It'd always be somebody a word or two behind everybody else, you know, just like a little dog running with big dogs, you know, always behind. You know, they get done, and he's coming on behind. But you set that 23rd Psalm to music, and everybody would hit every syllable right on time. Everybody but me. I can mess up the best ones. But the music makes you sing it together. It's harmony. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. No wonder that the Bible talks us so much about singing when we get to heaven. Going to sing a new song, a song that the angels can't sing. So if you're afflicted, pray. If you're happy, sing. If you're afflicted, you pray, and you'll get joy and victory, and then you'll want to sing. He said, is any sick among you? To let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. We must realize that when we pray, whatever we're asking for, and if you want to get results, you listen to what I'm saying. Whatever you're asking for, you let the Lord know that you want him to answer that prayer in whatever is best. My brother Paul, I was up to see him yesterday and he was talking, and somebody was talking to me about Paul and talked to them the other day about his condition. And the doctor says that he does have cancer. and the lymph nodes, and they're giving him treatment, and they started treatment on him yesterday. It's going to last for 3 days, I believe, and then after that he gets to go home, and then they'll just check on him, see how he's doing, and hopefully that this will do the work. If it don't, they'll have to give him more, whatever needs to be done. And this person said he's up to see Paul, and said Paul told him, says, you know, he says, I hate to have cancer, but he says, I'm glad it's me instead of one of my brothers that's not saved. He says, the Lord takes me out of this world, I'm ready to go, but they're not ready. And I want my brother saved. That's love. You see why I talk a lot about Paul? He's my big brother. And he's not just a big brother in the flesh, he's a big brother in Christ. He loves the Lord. I mean, he's just a good man, a good man. So if anybody's sick, you pray, but pray that the will of God will be done. You know, sometimes we hear preachers preach, and sometimes we don't get the message across like it ought to go across. And sometimes you hear preachers talk about if you've got faith that you're going to be healed. If that be true, nobody would die. That nobody would die. There's coming a time that nobody can keep me alive. That's coming. I know that. And I don't know how to explain it. I know of people that have the same kind of sickness, and one of them gets better and the other one dies. I don't know how to explain that. I'm just convinced, and the best way for me to think about it, that there's coming a time that's going to be my appointed time to leave this world, and I'm going to check out, folks. That's for sure. That time's going to come in your life too. But until that time comes, we pray for those folks that are sick. We pray for them. You say, preacher, don't you go to... Oh, yeah, I go to the doctor a lot. Hey, I keep a pharmaceutical company. It's pretty happy, I'll tell you right now. And I take a lot of that medicine, but I pray for people that's sick. I pray for them wherever they're at. I do that, and that's what we need to do. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord James says here in verse 15, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed sins, they're going to be forgiven them. And then he goes on down in this. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James is talking about maybe some of this sickness and things that come on is brought on by some kind of sin that we're involved in. I remember a friend of mine, a precious friend. I went to school with him. He and I were in the same grade. And I knew him just about all of my life. Ever since I was about 7, 8 years old or something like that, I knew this man and kept in touch with him. I wasn't with him a lot, but I kept in touch with him. And I remember a few years ago, I went out to visit him in the hospital, and I never could get him to go to church with me, you know. I don't ever remember seeing him in church other than at funerals or something like that. And I went out to visit with him, and I asked him. I said, "What's happened to you? What's your problem?" And he said, "I reckon that the things that I thought I was having fun with, that they're killing me. Some of that's brought on. A lot of it is." And he was honest and upfront about it. So we confess our faults. And then he says the effectual fervent prayer. That we're told that that's just one word in the original, effectual fervent prayer. Effectual, some say that that word would be a better meaning to it of what the meaning really is. Instead of the word effectual is energetic. Energetic, and the same word is for both of those words. Of course, fervent means energetic as well, but it means that it's earnest, sincere, hot. The word burning hot is one of the definitions for the word fervent. So when we pray, we talk to God as though we're talking to God in a business manner. Business with God is what we do when we pray. We talk to Him and let Him talk back to us. That's what you do. You're talking to somebody. You're discussing the matter. You talk and then you listen to what they've got to say. If you're going to have a conversation or sometime, if you're going to give a speech, you listen to what they're saying. And talking to God is doing business with the Lord. We ought to get down to business when we pray and call on God. I think that's the greatest power that we have in this world. And the greatest privilege that we have is to pray and to talk to God. Have you prayed today? Really? Think about it. Have you prayed today? You say, well, preacher, I got up late. Well, you ought to get up early to pray. Man, you come to church without praying, you ain't going to like me a bit. You know, everybody ought to pray. But have you really prayed today, took time out to pray? And how much time do you plan to spend in prayer today? I think that we ought to have some time set aside for prayer every day. And that don't mean that's the extent of our prayer. You pray about the needs. You pray about the needs. I pray with people wherever they ask me to pray. You know, I just start praying. You know, if anybody don't want to hear me, they can just, talk about something else or whatever. You know, you need to pray about the needs and whatever comes up in the day. You pray about that. But we need to have some time set aside for nothing else but prayer. We ought to have Bible study, but we ought to have time for prayer. It's a different thing to pray and talk to God about these things. And then the verses 17 and 18. Elijah, it's spelled here Elias, E-L-I-A-S, and that's the Greek way of spelling the word Elijah, which is a Hebrew name. And notice, if you will, that Elijah was a man. Stop there for a minute and look in the scriptures if you're looking at that verse. Elijah was a man. We ought to realize that every person. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a man to pray. You just need to be a person to pray. A person to pray. But Elijah was a man, one man. An individual. And we need to realize my prayer will make a difference. Your prayer will make a difference. Everybody's prayer will make a difference. We talk to God. Even the Lord talks about that multiple prayer, where as many as two or three are going to ask for any one certain thing. And He also talks about, continuing in prayer, about this judge that a woman asked him to deliver her from her adversary. And he says, even though I don't fear God nor regard man, he said, yet this woman continually coming and asking me to help her, in Russell County, paraphrasing, going to bug the daylights out of me, and I'm going to help her. And you said, you see how this unjust judge, what he did? And he says, shall not your heavenly Father grant those requests to them people that come to Him and continue to pray? You don't give up. You give up. But Elijah was a man, one man. And he was subject to like passions as we are. It doesn't say that he was a bad man, but he was subject to passions like we have today. Temptations, things that come in life, whatever it might be. He was subject to that. He wasn't a superman. Elijah come on the scene by telling Ahab it ain't going to rain. That's what he told Ahab, and this is what his prayer was about here, and this is what James is talking about. But he was subject to like passions as we are. Yet he prayed earnestly, sincerely, with seriousness. That's the way you pray. that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now remember that he announced this to Ahab that it wasn't going to rain. Remember what it said about the will of God. You say, preacher, I'm going to pray it ain't going to rain. My neighbor's garden, I don't like them, it's going to dry up. That prayer won't get as high as the burned up corn in the field when it's got a drought. It doesn't won't amount to a thing. Prayer is talking to God, and it comes from the heart. So he prayed and it didn't rain. And then 3.5 years later, he prayed again and it rained. Look at that next verse. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave forth rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So he prayed and it didn't rain. And he prayed and it did rain. The same God that answered those prayers for Elijah is the same God that we've come here today to worship. The same one. He hasn't changed, not one bit. His word has not changed. We got new translations of the Bible and give some of it different meanings, and I don't pay much attention to them and disregard them. Most of the part I say don't take one that's going to twist it around, leave some things out, add some things to. We don't need that. And by the way, ever greater revival that America has ever known has been preached from the King James Version Bible. Really. Every great revival, the great revivals where the people, oh, we have revivals today and have a lot of professions. But folks, when revival comes, I'm kind of like this preacher that had a revival to church, and a lot of folks made profession, and somebody asked and said, preacher, how many did you have saved in the meeting? He said, I don't know, but come back in 6 months and I can tell you better. When revival comes along, it changes people. It changes their life. It changes their soul, their way of living, and so on. And that's what happened in Elijah's life. He prayed and it rained, and he prayed again and it didn't rain. But Elijah. Now let's go back to these things that James is talking about here. And back in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, I believe it is. It tells about Elijah. When he had prayed about the rain and the things that happened, he went up on the mountain on Horeb. He had Ahab to bring in all the prophets of Baal, and they prayed and they had a contest. He prayed over an offering that was made. They prayed over an offering that was made. They didn't put any fire under the wood, and Elijah had an agreement with the people, and they agreed with him that nobody puts any fire under the wood, and whosoever's wood catches on fire, that's the God that we're going to serve. And they prayed to their God half the day, and nothing happened, absolutely nothing. You pray to a dead God, your answer is going to be dead. I mean, that's it. But Elijah repaired the altar, took the animal, put the wood on the altar, put the offering on the wood, poured water on it, dug a trench around it, had the trench filled up with water, and old Elijah called upon the God of heaven, and God sent the fire down from heaven and licked up the water in that trench, burned up the wood, the offering, everything. And the people says, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah outrun the chariot when he prayed for the rain. And, you know, he told Ahab, you better get off of here. If you don't want to get the soaking of your life, you better get off here. You outrun the chariot. But things changed in Elijah's life. It's not going to always be sunshine. It's not going to always be bright. But we need to learn to pray when we're down in the dumps. We need to learn to pray when everything has gone bad. You say, but preacher, my wife just walked out on me. Well, pray about it. Pray about it. And don't pray that God will kill her. That's no good. You know, you don't do that. But you pray about the situation. I mean, bring it to the Lord and take it to the Lord, as the song says, and leave it there. Whatever happens to you, if you lose your job, you get upset, pray about it. You know, that's our problem. When we have disappointments, when we have heartaches, when we have things that don't go well, we fuss about it, pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you with those situations. You see, I have a lot of problems that I have to deal with. And you have a lot of problems you have to deal with. My philosophy is when you've got a problem, work on that problem and get it taken care of, and for heaven's sakes, put it aside. Don't dwell on that today and tomorrow and the next day. I don't want to do those things. When the problem is solved, I mean, do away with it. But old Elijah come into some new problems. He went back up on the Mount of Horeb to talk to the Lord about some things. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die. I'm the only prophets left, and they seek my life to take it away, and people don't listen to me, and I'm ready to die. And he says, I want you to go up to Horeb. I'm going to talk to you. And Elijah went to Horeb. He went into a cave and stayed inside that cave. And Elijah, while he was inside that cave, there was an earthquake that shook the mountain. There was a fire, terrific fire that swept through the mountain. There was a wind that was so strong that the Bible said it broke rocks in pieces. Rocks were shattered. Old Elijah just sat still inside that cave. He sat still inside that cave. If Elijah had gone outside in the earthquake, he probably would have been killed. The fire, he'd have been burned up. The wind, as strong as it was, he might have been blown off the mountain. But Elijah knew that that wasn't where the Lord wanted him. And Elijah waited till he heard that still, small voice. Someone has described that as a whisper. Some people can't whisper. Sometimes I hear people whispering across the room. You know. But Elijah heard that voice. And when he heard that still, small voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went in and stood at the entering end of the cave, and the Lord come by. He recognized the Lord. Notice what they said, that what James says here, that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteousness is knowing the Lord, being saved. Righteousness is following the Lord in whatever he wants you to do. That's righteousness. That's what it is. It's not what people say about you. It's what you really are. My reputation is what you think about me. My character is what I really am. You can ruin my reputation, but you can't do anything with my character unless I allow you to do so. You can't do that. You can lie on me, but it's not going to destroy me. I've been lied on a lot, I suppose. But the character is what's so important. Pray. Prayer is so important. If you're here today and you're not right with the Lord, you need to pray. You need to ask the Lord to come into your heart. You need to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to repent. That comes along with that. But the Lord still hears prayers. He's still on the throne. If you've got something you need to pray about, this altar's a good place to take care of it this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Homer if he'd come and lead us in a verse of an invitation song. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, I wish you'd come and get ready. If you've got anything, any kind of problems in your life that you need to pray about, we want you to come. Father, we pray that you'd speak to hearts in the time of this invitation. Work your precious will in everyone's life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?
264.
Page number 264. As we sing on the first verse, if you've got a need to pray, we ask you to come. The Lord's ready to do business with you when you're ready. But he waits on you. Come if you will.